All right, guys, big episode of the Nordys Podcast. This is the Dune episode where we break down Dune 2, one of the best movies we've watched in some time, why you need to be watching Shogun, and we pitch our own reality show, The Real House Husbands of Minneapolis. And here we go, Nordys Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim. How's it going?
It's just going great, man. How are you?
I am little D disgruntled.
I see the reference.
I am. I'm little D.
Little D. Little D.
I'm little D disgruntled. But I am not disgruntled.
You're not disgruntled. Okay. No. Well, good.
Are you enjoying the...
I'm disgruntled!
Are you enjoying Curb this season?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, mostly. It's not as great as it once was, maybe.
No.
But it's still worth watching. It's entertaining.
I just feel like it feels like you are just hanging out with Larry David when you watch the show.
And that's good enough
and
for me.
And to me, that is just really fun.
I mean, it's just as entertaining as his interviews or anything else he does.
Yeah.
He just is an entertaining dude. I love it.
All right. Well, we are also entertaining dudes.
You think?
Yeah. And because of that, we need everyone to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Nordys Podcast and subscribe anywhere that you guys get your favorite podcast from and get the Nordys Podcast directly to your phone or your device each and every week for free.
You know, you might need to say your phone or Apple Vision Pro headset.
Ooh, I'd be so pumped if someone Apple Vision Pro'd our...
that'd be so cool. You could have like us up in the corner of your room, your porn, your other porn, your other porn, and then, you know, whatever else you might do with it. I don't really know.
Now, I was really going to be like, hey, I would really like to get one of those.
But then I set you up.
Yeah, you set
so
me
now
up
you
for
can't
that. So
get
now
one.
I don't want one.
Yep. Get this Gen 2. We'll
yeah,
get
Gen
2.
I will have that.
Better porn.
Yeah. All right. So, lots to talk about today. First off, what are we drinking?
A birthday present that you gave to me,
yeah,
which
I
was
did.
Very nice. This is a big time beer. This is Toppling Goliath times... Black Stack.
Yeah, that's a cool collab.
Which is massive. And it's a really, really tasty beer.
Really
big
good.
Double IPA. Nepo, baby.
I really like this. Really it's huge, but it doesn't feel like it's as boozy as I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's 7.8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels nice.
It's good, man. It's a good beer, and we're happy that they collabed. Very cool.
More collabs.
We love a collab beer. Especially, I mean, you get Minnesota with... Toppling Goliath, anything?
Yeah.
I'm happy about it.
I think that this is what I would do if I was a brewery right now.
Okay.
Cool brewery.
Pretend that you're going bankrupt so you have a really, really huge, like, 3 weeks.
No,
just kidding.
I think
Fair
that
state.
If I was a brewery,
yep.
My collab would be with, like, a cool clothing company.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
That's what I would be doing. I'd be trying to hit up some kind of, like, hip clothing company.
A little bit different collabs, yeah.
A skate company, shoe company, like some kind of fun clothing company that they would do a collab, like by making the beer that we made together, the theme for a couple items of clothing.
Okay.
And then in their best style is what that beer is and stuff. That's
their favorite.
Yeah.
I like that. That'd
and,
be great.
And like the label and everything.
Would have
like,
to all
yeah.
go together.
Mm-hmm.
That could work.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I would just get Travis Scott to like promote it, and then it would be a huge success.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You just
That's as easy.
Get Travis Scott, and then he just flips your brewery logo backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
All right, so here we go. Lots to talk about. We are actually going to start with Hot Rex and Not Rex.
We have to.
We
this
have
is a very
to.
Special day. A There's, day that we've been waiting for in this pod for 3 years.
Yeah, so we're going to start with a spoiler-free review of Dune 2, which we went and saw together.
We did.
We saw it
as it was written.
Yeah.
Okay. That we were going to see together. As it was written.
Yeah. And so we went, we saw it. It was great. This movie felt like the biggest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Grand in every single way. You know, as I was watching it, I just kept thinking, God damn, do they know how to do scale and to make it feel like these are actually planetary battles.
Yeah.
And not just like in Star Wars, it's like a couple ships show up to a city and they're like, they're fighting for the planet.
Yeah.
Like, this is a shit planet with one city in it.
Yeah, one city.
Like, not even as big as Seattle.
What's everybody else doing here?
So, dude, when they show up and there's fucking massive ships and there's, you know, they're so far away, there's a little haze to them. All that stuff gets me. It just looked perfect.
I think that this movie is one of the best theater experiences that I've ever had in my life. I don't know that I've had many things. I don't want to say I never have, but I don't think there's been many things since we've had a podcast. We are over 800 episodes.
Okay.
That I would recommend to the level that I would recommend this.
Yeah.
This is one of the
best
things. I
think it's for everybody too.
It's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. I think that Denis is coming for Chris Nolan now at this point.
He might have surpassed with this.
I mean, I think that Nolan's body of work is just better and like he's been more consistent, but I think now Denis is like hot on his heels.
This movie is better than any Chris Nolan movie though.
I agree.
I mean, and I love Chris Nolan, you know that. Especially stuff he's made lately.
I think Timmy is the biggest star in the world.
Dude, for some skinny kid from New York, he disappears into these roles. Really, really magnetic on the screen.
I think that the best thing I can say about Timmy and his performance is that he is so scrawny. He's like the skinniest action star I've ever seen. He has the skinniest little legs, and they have him wearing like this skin tight suit, and he has like no butt.
Yeah,
he's like just like he just is this tiniest little guy.
It's like they stood up a frog.
Yeah,
dude. I love it.
And I never questioned him in a fight. Or in anything that he did, I believed every second of it. And he might be 165 pounds, and it felt like he was 235.
Right.
Like, somehow they have...
You know, and it's not... He's not in a wrestling match here, right? It's a skill, highly skilled fights. You know, so.
Highly skilled fighting, but also his intelligence.
Yeah.
Just the way he carries this character, Paul Atreides, is... one of my favorite characters of all time now.
Yeah, it is nice to see a lot of times in these big epics, you know, the main character is like very one-dimensional, like Superman, okay? Superman is always just kind of a dud, and then you hope to get a good villain. Maybe you get a good, you know, a couple other characters, whatever, a good Lois Lane. In this, he is the main character, and he is the most magnetic force on the screen.
Which I don't
is
know.
Ideal.
Like, if I lived in this universe, I would... 1,000,000% be a fan of his.
You'd follow?
Yeah, I'd follow.
You'd be yeah.
So
Mwad al-Dib, he's got a lot of different names. So, Lisan al-Ghib, Mwad al-Dib, you know.
He's
Kazakh Swatarash. I don't know how to pronounce these things.
So we're gonna try to give you guys the spoiler-free version now, but we are gonna spoil the shit out of this thing later.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We're gonna
break
down everything
with
about this.
Who it could go 5 minutes, likely 15. It could go 20. I don't know.
So all I want to say about this is I think this is a must-see in theaters kind of movie.
I would try to get there. Yeah.
I'm gonna see it again in theaters.
Me too.
I'm confidently saying right now that I will see it a second time in theaters.
Maybe we should drive like the 3 hours it takes to get to the nearest real IMAX theater. We used to have one at the zoo, but it's closed. Yeah. I don't know.
I think
we saw it in a damn good theater.
Yeah, we did. I want to go see it at the place in Woodbury.
Okay.
The Draft House.
Yeah.
And go get some like good drinks and food.
Okay.
I'd like to do that. I think they actually have a themed meal that goes with it.
No way.
Yeah.
Sandworm?
I think they have like a whole theme.
Baby sandworm? That's a delicacy.
Let's see.
That'd be ideal.
They have the Dune Part 2 special menu at the Alamo Draft House in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
It has, I don't know, some kind of like chips and dip and some kind of like special popcorn and some like.
Oh, the popcorn. I'm going to bring my Dune 2 bucket.
Yeah.
To there.
I don't know what any of this stuff is, but they have their own special Dune menu. I think we should go order it.
That would be fun. Yeah. I think let's do it.
This movie. Anyone who's hating on this movie is just a hater.
I haven't heard anybody try.
What was our segment called?
It was called Growing Tomatoes.
Growing Tomatoes. So what did we give it when we guessed what this was going to be?
We literally guessed that it would be a 95, and that's where it's sitting right now.
It's at 95. We have our finger on the pulse, is what they call that.
And I give it you know, I get that it doesn't work like this, okay? I haven't bitched about this in a while, yeah. But it is a 9.7 out of 10 for me, a 97 out of 10, out of 100.
I think that this movie is a 99.
Yeah.
I think it's a 99. I think it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Technically, yes. I mean, in so many ways, yes. Huge, crazy story that you wonder if you're really going to be able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And they told it, and it's captivating, and they did it true to the, you know, the Frank Herbert's vision. It's amazing.
I think that, like, this will be, again, I'll keep it spoiler free, but I will say a couple things that really had me. There was a few moments where I felt some real anxiety.
Yeah.
Where I was scared in moments for what was going to happen. I was unsure what was going to happen next. I think that's a great sign in movies.
Very great. Yeah.
Something that was on the trailer, so I don't think this is a spoiler, but when Paul finally rides the sandworm, which we did see in the trailer,
triumphant.
I thought that was I literally thought to myself,
something that it was in the trailer. You knew it was coming, and they still hit the music, and it looks incredible, and you feel it.
I did.
They played me like a fiddle the whole time.
In that moment, I thought to myself the whole time, I just kept thinking, Luke Skywalker who? That's all I kept thinking. I was like, Luke Skywalker who? Luke Skywalker has never done anything as cool as Paul. And so to me, like, this movie to me was Star Wars come outside. Like,
okay.
Like, this was...
Catch me outside?
Yeah. Like, this was Star Wars should be... Like... On my own personal Twitter account, I posted, it was probably not appropriate, but
that's why it's your personal.
Yeah. That's why it's my personal.
It's your burner account.
But I did post, Vince McMahon gif of him just said Star Wars after watching Dune 2. And it's just him gulping. And people were not happy with that take. They were like, why would Star Wars give a shit? They're two completely different genres.
Because they know they'll never do anything as good as that?
I was like, a Chosen One prophecy about a boy who learns to wield an unexplainable magic and rises up to protect people who are being dominated by an all-powerful galactic empire to which he is related to. They both have spice trade, sword fights, and sand planets. Good story, bro.
Yeah.
To me, I think that this movie...
And you got to remember that these books came out before Star Wars was written. Yeah. And that's very important.
To me, this was an absolute blow to Star Wars. And I truly mean that. I know that one is more adult and one is more for kids, but kids don't have money and adults do. I know adults spend their money on kids, but to me, like, what would I be more excited about? Dune 3 coming out or a new Star Wars trilogy? It's not close. Dune 3.
Yeah, we
want
that. Not
close.
Yeah.
Not close. To me, if I'm Star Wars, I'm like, rip up all the plans. Let's copy this.
Yeah, let's make a movie for grown-ups. You know, and this movie is PG-13. It is a lot more violent, I will say that, than the last one.
Yeah.
I watched the last one, and I'm like, Eric, they're PG-13 movies. They're not going to be that, you know, there's not going to be blood. It's not going to be that violent. And it was really brutal.
As someone who's not a huge violence in movies fan.
I don't really know how one can be PG-13 and two can be PG-13.
This movie was real violent.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think people should be waiting to stream this. I think this is like, get yourself a babysitter.
Yep.
I think this is like, make sure you go to the theater, you get yourself the Dune popcorn bucket and all.
If there's some left.
And I think you go for it on seeing this movie. I think this is like, to me, this is the best thing I can say. We're in the year 2024.
Correct.
I was really hopeful that Dune 2 would be the movie of the year. And right now, I feel pretty confident it's in the clubhouse as the leader for movie of the decade.
Let's go.
That's how I feel.
We'll see you in 6 years to do that. Because I can't imagine something... Isn't it nice when expectations work out?
Said 95.
I mean, we had such high expectations.
I thought it was better than my high expectations.
Yes.
My brother, who we came, he didn't go with us.
He's been on the pod many times. Yeah. Adam, what up?
He went and saw it, and he said it was a 10 out of 10 or 100.
Yeah.
He thought it was
pure,
the best
perfect
movie.
Perfect 100.
And he asked, he sent me a text. He said, what was better to see in theaters? Harry Potter 8. Deathly Hallows Part 2 or this. And I thought long and hard about it. I did say Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Because you had been invested for so long.
Because I think it was just like, it was the end. And they, I thought for the most part, they really nailed the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that movie just crushed.
Yeah.
I don't know if Deathly Hallows Part 2 was a better movie. I think this was a better movie than that. I think my theater experience might have been better with Deathly Hallows Part 2. But the fact that I'm like in that debate.
And this
here,
is your favorite stuff. Yeah.
I think that this was like on the same level as Deathly Hallows Part 2 and Endgame.
I would have to really consider it, but I do think that Dune 2 finds its way into my top 10 favorite movies of all time, which is crazy.
I'm confident with that, yeah. I'd say maybe top 5.
Oh,
I loved this movie.
I loved it.
I think the acting was out of this world. I thought it's crazy because like every character seems to be a big-time star that you kind of aren't too busy thinking that they're a big star.
Yeah.
Like, you still are able to kind of, like...
And think about what they're trying to do. I mean, they're delivering lines that are just... If with a bad actor and director, those lines would be ridiculous. And you have an amazing director and really great actors selling you on some pretty out there shit.
Yeah.
And you buy in 100%. You do. I mean, that's the thing. It's like... It was a pretty serious movie, pretty self-serious movie.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Shy away from the hard sci-fi stuff, the hard fantasy stuff.
There was like two or three jokes.
There was a couple jokes.
Mostly Javier Bardem.
Who killed it. Like, he was
like
hilarious.
Funny. He was actually funny.
I didn't see that coming, given his like small role in the last one. But yeah, he was great. You know, I don't know. Rebecca Ferguson was fantastic.
Yeah.
We're
big Rebecca Ferguson fans.
Huge Rebecca Ferguson fans. I think maybe Christopher Walken didn't really know what movie he was in, but maybe that was the point, that he was just kind of like confused and like weak and doddering as the emperor.
I can't believe that they
did his like Brooklyn accent.
I thought it was crazy that they had him playing the cowbell character.
Yeah. right. It may be a couple points off for Batista, who I did think was a good actor. He's, you know, amongst this cast.
Yeah.
Uncle, I'm trying my best, you know? It's like, all right, dude. But, dude, it's just absolutely stacked. It's almost impossible to pick apart. I don't know. We've given our scores. Do you think we move on?
Yeah, I think we have to move on.
We'll be back. We get into some questions that we still have.
Yeah, we'll talk about this with full spoilers at the end of the episode. So if you watch this or you're going to watch this, go check out our spoiler-filled end of this episode where we will break down our thoughts on the movie.
We'll give you plenty of heads up, right? Yeah. As we're coming up to it, it's like, all right, if you haven't watched it, we'll see you next week.
If you think that Dune isn't for you, I think it's a huge mistake.
My wife doesn't watch TV, which is ironic.
Or movies, really.
Or movies. She's really kind of bored by all of it. She gets stressed out. She loved this movie, and we talked about it all week. Yeah. It's been really fun to have her on board here. So
for sure.
If she liked it, I think everybody would.
I agree. All right, let's move on. You started watching Shogun. You've watched the first few episodes. This is FX's new big show.
Big show.
What do you think
big
about
budget
this?
Movie. We're lucky to have this, man. We needed something, and this is really great. And you know what's funny? I was like, oh, Shogun. Like that book I read when I was like in sixth grade. It is the fucking book. The James Clavell, like, kind of historical fiction, but based in, you know, a real period that could have happened. And after just two episodes, which is all that's out right now, it's by week, and it's on FX, but I just watched it on Hulu, like probably everybody else. I'm like so invested already. I'm like, dude, this family is going to do this. This is crazy. And, you know, they got like just really just one English character that kind of gets in to get you, you know, used to this culture. It's a culture shock to him. So then we get to learn about it through him. And there's no bad acting. It seems really, really authentic. Every shot is beautiful. The violence is like explosive and kind of quick, which I always like that. Like, Tarantino did that really well. Build up a lot of tension. Really explosive, fast violence. Right?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones did that, too.
Yep.
A lot of tension, and then four people die. Like, really. That makes a bigger impact on me than a 20-minute shootout. So, that part has been fantastic. This is a hot wreck. It's paced like a historical fiction, so it's a little bit slower. But it kind of needs to be, because you got to understand their culture, these families that are feuding. you know, what a Shogun is. And dude, this show is really, really, really top quality. It's like a 9 out of 10 so far.
It seems like everyone loves this. Feels like this is like going to be a contender for the best show this year.
FX, man, dude.
They rarely miss.
I know.
They rarely miss at
it's
this
crazy.
Point.
So I'm hot, excited, but
hot wreck.
It's a hot, hot wreck. Yeah. Eric, are you going to attempt to watch it?
Yeah, I am.
It turns out that the quickest way to kill somebody with a sword is at the neck.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that.
So there's the first episode was like pretty safe, and the second episode was like, I lost track of the timestamps for you. Like sometimes I try to keep.
You do. I appreciate it.
And
that.
I was like, dude, there's a bunch.
Just everyone.
Yeah. So, I really, really like this show. I can't wait. I keep checking for a new episode, and I'm like, okay, not yet. That's how excited I am.
All right. I'm back with a decent wreck, okay? Yeah. This is like a warm wreck for Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay. It's tepid for me, so I'm
still,
glad you think
I'm
it's
still enjoying
still
this
warm.
Show. I like this show. I think that... what's her name? Erskine?
Yeah, Maya Erskine.
Maya Erskine and Donald Glover.
Correct.
I really enjoy their chemistry. I think that it is kind of weird that people have turned on Donald Glover a bit.
Yeah.
A few years ago, he was like the world's darling of entertainment.
He was Denis and, Jordan Peele all wrapped in one for everybody. Yeah.
Everyone just loved anything he touched. And now, for some reason, everyone's kind of decided, I think they've swung too far the other way.
That could be.
I think he's talented. I think that he's at his best in like a comedic way.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when he's very serious, that's where people are kind of out on him.
I think that... You know, he's always like writing his own roles and producing his own stuff, which is very cool that he can do that. But he thinks he's a lot better at being like the cool guy than he is.
I think
I think he thinks he's in a little better shape than he is.
Yeah, I think he's better at being the funny.
A lot of shirtless scenes, but his body fat, you know, ain't quite what he thinks it is.
I think he's best at being kind of a funny guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think when he's being funny, I think he's really likable. And I think like when he just isn't taking himself too seriously. So I think like when the show dips into some of that, and I think like the relationship between the two of them is pretty captivating.
It better be.
I think she's really...
Because that's really the show.
I think she's a star.
I think she's a star. Yeah.
I like to me...
So him picking her out of kind of obscurity, I knew who she was because of Pen 15, but a lot of people didn't watch that show. And good for him, man. Great casting.
I think she is, like, I'm buying stock.
Yeah.
I think she's Blue Eye Samurai, which we put as her number two show.
Ugh, it was close.
And it was pretty close. You know, I think she's fantastic at this point. So I think this is a wreck.
I think it's a wreck. I'm glad you still like it. It does make me want to go pick it back up. I hate that Prime has ads now. I pay enough. I don't know why I have ads to watch. And there's like more ads than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, good rec.
Okay. What about, Love on the Spectrum?
So this is one of those shows where I'm like, you know, is Netflix kind of being a little predatory here, or maybe exploitative is probably the best word, right? Exploitative of, you know, these autistic people. And nope, they're not. It's an amazing show. It humanizes autistic people more than, you know, like people see someone with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like they're going to be like warm and friendly, right? Like that's the societal view. But maybe people with autism, you think they're going to be, you know, cold or weird or whatever,
like emotionless,
right? Emotionless. Like, and you see all the different types. And I think that's really important to put that out there. And of course, it's very sweet. It's like makes you want to cry a little bit here and there. Just like tears of cuteness and happiness. I kind of get why this is sort of taking over the zeitgeist a little bit. This new season. I'm not even going to watch season one. I don't care that much. I'm just starting in on season two. I really like it. I really like it.
I think that like an underrated thing in entertainment is finding a reality TV show that's really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do. I really
I know.
Think,
we know.
I think that it's super enjoyable and it's hard because there's so much bad reality TV.
Right.
And there's so much reality TV that's like bad that's been made for so long that we just people just decide it's good no matter what.
Like
The Big Bachelor, Brother. The yeah. Bachelorette, Survivor, Big Brother, The Challenge, my favorite show, which is not always great.
Right.
You know, Love is Blind, whatever it is. You know, like there's so many of these shows where it's just like everything on Bravo.
Right.
Where it's pretty, oh, yeah. It's pretty inconsistent.
All the housewives on every city. Yeah, yeah. They all get
it's all pretty inconsistent. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. And I think like they have these loyal fan bases that just are desperate for the content every time. But it's like once in a while, they just catch lightning in a jar. And I feel like that's kind of how people are treating Love on the Spectrum right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where it's at.
Yeah.
You know what I think they should make? House Husbands of Minneapolis. And I think that, like, you know, that's been your dream for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, when can Laura generally get to the point where it makes more sense for me to be home?
To be home, yeah.
To be home, doing, you know, taking care
just
of...
Just having fun.
Yeah. And, you know, just House Husbands, fun. Dude. What are they doing?
We're going out
and they can't be golfers.
We're fighting a lot.
Yeah.
We're fighting a lot.
Yeah, we're fighting a lot.
We're constantly talking shit. Dude, I just want you to know that if we could be House Husbands of Minneapolis,
yep.
I would create so much fake drama with you.
Well, we want to get renewed for the next season.
I would talk behind your back all the time. And when you talk behind my back, I would be mad.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot believe he would talk behind my back.
I would be all about that. So I do think we should start that.
Okay. Where's the House Husbands? It's time. It's 2024.
It is time. I agree. You were also watching another show. Oh, I have a question for you first.
Oh, though. Yeah.
I have one question. What are like the biggest moments in reality TV history? So like in the journey of reality television, mm-hmm. what are the big moments that were like everybody was watching? It has to start with probably Real World.
Yeah, maybe. What about with the Joe Millionaire reveal?
I didn't watch it. Do you think everyone was?
Yeah, everyone watched it, okay. And everybody was like, couldn't believe that he was about to tell all these women that he's dead broke, and didn't go great. They were pissed. Obviously, it's horrible, horrible. I'd say that's up there. Okay. I'd say one of the first Survivor seasons where that Richard guy won. Yeah, that was huge.
American Idol.
First 5, 6, 7 seasons of American Idol were absolutely massive.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's kind of a game show, though.
When the guy, okay, but still,
that was huge.
Somebody won.
That was like people were literally tuning in.
Well, because we knew, we had heard it was like, hey, somebody's gonna win the million tonight. Yeah, so we knew. So that was cool. What did you have in mind? What do you think?
Jersey Shore for sure.
Absolutely.
Season one Jersey Shore was
the note,
like
Ronnie's note.
Every or the note single about person was watching Jersey Shore season one.
I was one of them.
What about Laguna Beach?
Yeah, Laguna Beach was big.
With high school kids and college kids.
Yeah, but that's me at that time. That's all I care about. Yeah. There's probably got to be some big ones. Anybody care about Amazing Race? Nobody cares about
How about
Amazing Race.
Tiger King?
Tiger King is
documentary.
A documentary.
I just remember
different because they film it.
Kardashians, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say.
Kardashians, at least.
I don't have
a moment of it. I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Anything with Scott, because he was the heart of. Maybe the Art Vandelay bit with Scott and Chloe was hilarious.
Pretty much only Scott stuff.
Art Vandelay was actually. Like, that was when I was watching with my wife, and I'm like, as long as Scott's on it, I'm loving it. And, you know, he wasn't on there long.
Yeah, but. Yeah. They need to bring him back more, and then maybe I would watch it, actually.
He could maybe be on House Husbands with
us. Husbands with us.
I mean, he could be on it.
Because,
you know, what does he really do?
Yeah, he'd get us in trouble.
You know who would, though? Who would really get us in trouble? Lamar Odom. Now, that man would get us in trouble.
House Husbands of Minneapolis. Can we think of some other people that would have to be on this show?
In Minneapolis or just...
In Minneapolis.
I don't know
Billy
if there's...
Sushi.
Oh, Billy Sushi would be like the friend. You know, every episode would sort of end with us at Billy Sushi.
Yeah.
And he'd be there and, you know, he'd work his way in. He'd have to be because he's a big star.
I think people need to there's got to be someone who listens to this who makes TV.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Hit us up, dude. We're ready.
House
I'll
Husbands.
I'll quote unquote quit my job.
I'll
take a sabbatical.
I'll cold call quit my job.
Yeah. You would.
Wouldn't even tell them.
You've been trying to get there anyway, so.
All right, you're also watching a show called Constellation.
So, all right, this one I'll try to be kind of quick with because I'm a little unsure, but after three episodes, I'm really into it. It's on Apple TV, okay? It's got Noomi Rapace. Do you remember her?
Yeah, I do.
So she was in one of your favorite Alien movies. She was the star of those.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she was in one of your other favorite series, like, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, but okay. She was the original good Swedish one.
Okay, yep.
We liked those. So she's pretty cool, and she's in this, and it's like a really, really well-done space mystery, kind of, with some horror aspects. A lot of questions being asked. Not a lot of answers yet. Okay. One of those, right?
Yeah, it sounds fun, though.
Yeah, it definitely is fun. And it's
kind of creepy. Where is this
on? It's on Apple TV.
Okay.
Apple Plus, whatever the fuck you call
it.
I
like how their shows look.
It looks good.
I do. I like how their stuff looks.
Yeah, that's a pretty good observation for even their bad shows look pretty good.
Everything looks good there, yeah.
This looks good. I'm like, dude, did they fucking do the plane thing where they had to like dive over and over again to film this? I don't know, but it's in space and it's also.
Did you know that all of their shows are filmed with iPhones?
Probably, yeah, right. Made with iPhone. But I like it. I think it's a wreck. I would be curious if anybody else is watching it or is, you know, going to watch it. Hit me up and let me know what you think on Instagram. But I like it. It's like an 80 degree wreck.
Okay. All right, we're going to cruise through Do We Care here.
Yeah, we can cruise because we got Dune coming. I can't wait.
All right, here we go. Lots of stuff to talk about. First thing up, speaking of reality TV.
Ooh.
Speaking of House Husbands.
Oh.
A show we couldn't go on. Oh. Love is Blind is filming currently in Minneapolis.
Apparently we missed it.
We missed it.
And we're also married.
We're married where we missed it.
So there's that. But yeah, dude, so they are filming here, which makes... Next season, must watch. Does this make up for Real World never having come here? What a fucking joke.
The biggest joke of all time is that we've never had Top Chef.
That is the biggest.
Top Chef Milwaukee?
That's unforgivable.
Next. That's unforgivable. They've gone to places twice. They've gone to every city in freaking Texas. We have to pretend that like Southern barbecue is like best cuisine.
So exciting.
In the whole. Oh man, they're doing Asian Mexican fusion.
Dude, I know. As a fan of that show, still pissed.
Pissed
every day. Padma is done with the show. She's never coming.
She'll never be in Minneapolis.
I hate that.
I'm still mad.
So I'm pissed about that. But Love is Blind is filming here, which makes next season must watch.
Yeah.
They've been to places that we love in Northeast, like High.
Great
and
spot. Friends of the Pod.
Stepchild, which is, you know, that kind of cool bar right across from Serdix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good spot.
On the corner there. They've been to, you know, the fancy hotels and all that too. But I think they went to Hewing. So let's go. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch it. And here's the thing. I think that we know a lot of people in the cities.
Yeah.
Especially through the pod and everywhere else. What are the chances we know one of the 28 contestants?
I think
whatever?
That we should have someone on from the show.
Well, we got to find them. If you're listening and you know you are, obviously hit us up. Or if you know somebody that's been on it.
We'll have them on the show.
We don't have to have spoiler. Or once they get kicked off, then we'll have spoiler. Whatever.
I hope they don't get kicked off. I hope they come back for like.
Oh yeah, they don't really
they
get
make
kicked
it?
Off.
Did they make it as a couple?
Yeah.
I want to know. I want to know what was happening on the show on the podcast. So
I can't wait. Help us out with that. But that is just makes next season must watch.
Okay. How about this? We are getting not one, not two, but three new Nicole Kidman ads at AMC.
That's huge.
That's one of the best parts to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the first one was so cheesy that it captivated the nation.
Is this the thing that she's known for now in her career?
It's the biggest thing she's ever done. Probably. I think this is cooler for her than Big Little Lies.
I actually think that these are the best. They look like the most expensive commercials ever made.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, I think the writing on it is probably done by AI.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I think that these three new commercials, I haven't seen them yet. And you can't see them unless you go to those theaters, which I'm so excited. It makes you need to go.
I'm pretty lost with what she's saying the whole time.
You know, Heartbreak feels good in a place like this. You know, Was that Irish? I'm not sure. It's supposed to be a little bit subtle Australian. Yeah, I loved all that. I liked that stuff. And we get three more. Not just, hey, a new one might be dropping. We get three. I love that. I hope that they're all awful.
Okay, something I know is going to be awful is a Naked Gun reboot.
I know. Where's I like these be? Movies. So there's Naked Gun, Naked Gun 2, Naked Gun 33 and a third. And as a kid, I loved all of them. Leslie Nielsen. Do you remember Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah, he's like Pink Panther?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. He's like that white-haired guy. He always had white hair. I bet he had white hair when he was 35. Because I've only ever seen him like that. And I love those movies. But I, even though like this is some of the Lonely Island guys who I think make really underrated movies, some of them are involved.
Liam Neeson?
No.
Yes. Liam Neeson, Naked Gun reboot release date and details. Liam Neeson will take over for Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun reboot.
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm kind of in on that.
I didn't know who was going to do it. Now I'm kind of... He's actually so sneaky funny.
Yeah, I'm kind of in on that.
I'm kind of in on that, too. So you got the Lonely Island guys writing, directing, Dermot Tacone and whomever else. And you got Liam Neeson, who can definitely do like really great dry humor, which Liam Neeson was never laughing and joking in the movies. He was always just like super dumb, super dead serious. Good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. All right, how about this? Did we need more of this? Not sure. Ocean's 14.
Yeah.
Supposedly Brad Pitt is in on this.
And Clooney.
Clooney's in on this.
So they've agreed they want to do it. They just say they want to make another one. They're going to make another one. That's cool. Is it?
I just don't know. How are they going to get all of the people who were in it before with all the other good things they're in right now?
yeah, like Matt Damon not doing shit. Yeah, I think that they could get almost everybody.
I do too. I think that this is
a bad idea. But don't
I'm
you
cheering
want,
for it. I'm cheering for it, but it's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. But I don't want it to be some kind of like remix on it or like a prequel or their, you know, mentors and they're coaching up a new group that they hope is going to catch
That's
on.
That's what they're going to do. It's going to be bad.
It's going to be like, they're going to be like, Barry Cogan is in it and Austin Butler is in it. And like Timothy Chalamet wouldn't fucking touch this thing with a stick. But no, I want it to be the cast.
Okay.
And I want them
to
be back.
Can we guess who's
going to
be added to it?
I mean, I just gave a couple.
I'm
going to
guess Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney will be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As
like, and you know, all the jokes will come with like, she's very distracting. We get it.
Yeah.
Who else?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift will be in it.
She'll
probably be Taylor Swift playing somebody that isn't Taylor Swift, but she looks so much like Taylor Swift that she's going to be able to walk in and, you know, get places that she should.
Yeah, that's such a good point. They love to do
they,
that.
They did that.
They did that.
That was almost unforgivable with the Julia Roberts
really,
thing.
Really, really bad. I'm not excited about this.
No, neither.
I'm getting less excited talking about it.
We can't make it good. If we can't make it exciting, they can't either.
No. All right, talk about this. You and your family, you guys love anime at home right now.
My kids are getting more into it, which is kind of fun.
Naruto
yeah.
is coming to live action.
Naruto.
Is this a big deal?
So look, we got Avatar Last Airbender, which is, the live action was like pretty bad. I don't think I talked about it on the show, to be honest. It's like a 7, it's like a 6 out of 10, kind of a mild wreck, kind of fun, pretty bad. But the live action One Piece, that my kids are really into the anime of One Piece, was actually pretty good. I like that. So I think that this, you know, Naruto, which starts out kind of like a kid's show, pretty light, and then as, you know, Naruto grows up, it gets more and more intense, and it gets to be more of an adult anime. I think it has some potential.
Okay.
They're kind of getting better.
Where's
at doing
it
going
to be?
Things.
Where are we going to be able to see this?
I don't think they've even sold it yet.
Oh,
but
okay.
You know, it's going to be Netflix. They're doing all of them.
Yeah,
they're going to do it. I'm kind of excited for this. I know my kids are. It's kind of more traditional, like kung fu type of stuff. So I think that's cool. I don't know. I do care about this. My kids will care. I'm into it.
How about this? Gareth Edwards is going to direct the next Jurassic movie. I don't even know what they're called anymore. Jurassic Universe.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic Galaxy.
Dude, this is not what I want him doing.
What has he done before?
Rogue One.
Oh, shit.
The Creator.
Oh.
And I really fucking like The Creator. And I just feel like he does these one-off movies. He did Looper, which I thought was really interesting. He does like a one-off movie way better than anybody would expect. I'll say that. I don't want to hype him up too much, but I would rather see him try something totally different and unique than it'd be like if you're like, you know, Jordan Peele is going to take on the Star Wars universe and he's going to spend the next 15 years of his life only making Star Wars movies. You'd be like, wow, well, we're going to miss out on like 4 really unique movies that would actually have an impact on our culture. I feel like we're going to miss out on something cool from Gareth Edwards because he's doing one of the worst series of all time that they should absolutely kill and just reboot everything or just let it lie. Let it go the way of the dinosaurs and let's be done. Let it go extinct.
All right. Now we have some HBO news as well. We got Harry Potter, the show on HBO Max.
Right.
Is not coming till 2026.
That seems a little crazy. Like they need that much time for this?
I really need them to get this right.
2026.
I feel like Harry Potter's
like full 2 years.
I feel like Harry Potter's hanging in the balance right now.
Just as a property, it is like, how much is this shit worth?
I feel like it's hanging in the balance, which is crazy because at this point, I like Harry Potter more than probably any other franchise. So it would be my first pick.
It's like your favorite IP in general, right? Yes.
But if I was being a businessman. And I owned the IP of Dune, would I trade it for Harry Potter right now? Probably not.
I probably would.
You probably
just because
would.
It's pretty specific, and you know there isn't this endless world to go off of. There's just the main stories that people know about. I don't know.
They're making a Bene Gesserit show.
Are they gonna?
I thought so.
Oh, we did talk about that years ago.
So Dune right now is like. It's not far off of what Potter is supposed to be. And Potter's been bad for about a decade now.
Right.
J.K. Rowling has been a complete disaster.
She's not helping. Thank God Frank Herbert is dead. Because if he wasn't, he'd probably be like tweeting racist shit.
They literally got, what's the guy from Fantastic Beasts? What's his name? He was in The Dutch Girl or whatever.
That's sad. That's really sad.
We can't even think of his name.
Right.
And he I think he won... was The Dutch Girl the name of a movie?
Yeah.
He won like best actor.
But he was The Dutch Girl.
Yeah.
I'm not being transphobic. He was the Dutch girl.
He was supposed to come in and like take over this franchise. And he was a disaster, I think.
To the point where the story actually got super interesting by the time they get to like the third Secrets of Dumbledore. And the movie was horrible. Have you ever even watched it?
Yeah, I've watched
it. It's so bad.
It's so bad. Where they have the animal to kill.
Oh, God. Who cares?
And they like reanimated its body or something. I don't know. It was off as an election. It was all about elections.
Unreal.
It was brutal. So to me, I don't really care when this comes out. It just has to hit.
Yeah.
They have to hit. Honestly, we need a great Potter show. And I'm even okay with them redoing the movies, because I do think like if I watch the first couple movies at this point, they feel pretty old now.
Mm-hmm.
The later movies, I would say like 3 through 8 all still hit pretty good. But 1 and 2, it's like they didn't know what they had.
1 is too simple. It's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
2 is just a bad movie.
I did see a great video, like a great social media, like TikTok video.
Yeah.
Of kids from Hogwarts approaching Quirrell to ask what his religion was and why he was wearing the turban and asking if he was a Sikh and he was like, no. And they were like, then it's just cultural appropriation and you should probably take that off.
You've got the gem on the front.
And he was like, no, I'm not going to take it off. And they were like, people are going to start saying you're racist. And he was like, that's okay.
Yeah. I'm actually worse things than racist.
Yeah. So I don't know. I need Potter to hit.
So maybe it's best. Maybe it's best they take their time. Maybe they'll take so much time that they decide to do the right thing and make, you know, an adjacent story really well done, which is what we want.
Yeah.
Like maybe starring older people, like
yeah.
the Order of the Phoenix or something that we haven't seen. I think seen
that
much
this
of.
Is the introduction to that, though.
I hope so.
I think that they like Potter came before they understood what these IPs could eventually be.
Right.
Like I think they were like, and that was it. That was the end of Harry Potter. And then yep. they were kind of like,
wait, everybody else just keeps going.
Everyone's printing off money and we're going to stop printing off $1 billion movies. Like, yeah. why would we stop? Yeah. So sticking with Max and okay. HBO, we found out House of the Dragon 2 is coming this June.
I'm psyched. June's not that far away.
No, it's right around the corner.
I'm psyched on it.
I think that season one was B plus Game of Thrones.
Which is still pretty good TV.
Just still really, really like one of the top shows.
Yeah.
I think it will be one of the best shows of 2024.
I think so too. I think it's going to be better than season one.
Yeah.
They're rolling now.
I think they just have to not. I just need them to have less birthing scenes.
Right.
That season one was really into like, do you want to see someone bleed out from giving birth? And I was like, no.
Nah.
I don't think so. And they were like,
they're like, how about three times?
Yeah, we'll do it a couple times.
Yeah.
If you missed it the first two times, yeah, right. if you were sweating in your living room,
yeah,
we got you.
If your kids didn't wake up from the screaming women for 14 minutes. Yeah, no, this, I think it's going to be better. I'm excited. June is right around the corner. One of my most anticipated shows of the year.
Yeah.
So, of course, I care.
And then finally, one more Dune movie is going to be coming.
That's big.
So we know it's most likely going to be called Dune Messiah.
I think it will be called Dune Messiah, and it will be the last, I think, that at least Denis does.
The last that he does, the last maybe that Chalamet does, the last right. that like this version of Dune kind of is. I think they eventually will go off onto some side stories.
Yeah, I just don't know who you get to replace Denis. I don't see how you make another movie after this.
Time,
these three are done. Yeah,
I think they take time on.
I think they do a
Max.
TV show. Yeah. Maybe
I think they go to Max for a couple years and then they allow a new story
right.
that's loosely based on the books.
Yep.
To take shape, and they maybe go to a different part of the galaxy.
And now you get like you know Justin Lin, the director of Fast and the Furious, to come in and like who do you? I don't know how you ever would expect. The next set of movies to be yeah. any good, but that's good problems to have.
So here it is. It's time for us to talk Dune with spoilers. We're going to talk plot here. If you haven't watched Dune, I really, really advise you to shut this off and go mm-hmm. see it.
Yeah.
Buy tickets right now. Go see it in theaters. If you didn't watch Dune 1, you're crazy. Watch Dune 1 as well first. This is, I think, probably the best first two movies of something that I've seen in over a decade.
I can't think of
maybe ever
anything else is like hit back to back like that.
I think that this is better than anything Star Wars has ever done.
Yeah,
I do.
I mean,
I
just
really
feel technically yes. Technically yes. Star Wars was, you know, an original screenplay, right? So it wouldn't exist if they hadn't made the movies. So you have to give them some credit for that. This is an adaptation of a existing story, so that you know, maybe give them a little bit of credit for that. But you know, as incredible an achievement as some of that science was back in the day for Star Wars, I just feel like they have it dialed now. I mean, they're doing things that did you know this movie was $100 million cheaper than the Marvels? $60 million cheaper than Guardians of the Galaxy 3, $30 million cheaper than The Flash, and it just looked incredible.
If I had to guess with the cast that they had and how good this movie looked, I would have guessed this cost $400 million.
Right.
I would have. I would have said this was the most expensive thing I ever made.
Right.
That's how it looked to me. I really think this was like a shot across the bow, is that what he would say?
Sure.
Saying?
Yeah.
To Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I really did. I thought, like, man, Star Wars has been just pissing away their place in the world with the stuff that they've been putting out. And they're not even the best space epic in town at this point. Like, this was really something special.
This was epic.
This movie is almost 3 hours long.
Okay.
it's about the first hour was mostly Paul, the main character, with the Fremen.
Yeah.
Falling in love with...
I think almost the first 2 hours was
falling Paul in love with Chani, who is...
Zendaya's character.
Yeah.
Yep.
And...
learning their ways, yeah, impressing them,
fighting
along the way,
fighting with them against the Harkins.
Frontline fighting, which, yeah, some of those scenes, you know, so many scenes stand out to me, right? But, yeah, like them popping out of the sand, don't know how they do that.
Cool.
Literally, don't know how
really
they do
cool.
that because it looks so fucking crazy when they, yeah, pop out. And he's right there, and them taking down those Harkonnen ships was really, really cool.
Oh, I loved all of that. I thought that. The fight scenes in this are really awesome, and I thought their use of, like...
I thought they were better than the first one by quite a bit. I don't think that they... I mean, a little confused by, like, what's the point of the shields? Are the shields, like... Oh, I don't know.
I think the shields are, like, kind of effective.
They kind of help, yeah.
Yeah. I think that in this,
They have guns in this one.
Yeah.
And it's like, they should put more ammo in those guns, and then they, yeah, maybe just make, like, it into an AR and they'd annihilate... I don't know, but...
I think that this,
swords are still the way to go.
This movie, yeah, the sword stuff is a little weird with all the tech that they have.
Yeah.
But I thought that this really built up their relationships to a place where I really, truly cared about all of these characters.
Yeah.
It introduced deeper into the Harkonnens, which I think they're really interesting.
I love that so much. And I know you want to talk about the relationships and stay with that. But I will say that with how much time we spent with Paul and the Fremen,
yeah,
when they went to the Harkonnen stuff, or even to the Emperor stuff,
yeah,
I was like, nice break. Yeah. Now I'm really into this.
It looks
different. It feels different.
I wanted to learn more about them.
And I wanted to learn more about them, yeah, and I wanted to see what they were up to. So, like, really cool pivots away from the main line to those.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, oh, can we just stay with the main character?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like that at all. I was like, hell yeah. Give me everything.
So this whole time, Rebecca Ferguson really turning into a villain.
Just like a fanatic, yeah.
Yeah, she's...
Like, I mean, you know, her entire family has been crushed, but really, where was her alliances the whole time anyways? Was it more towards the Atreides or the Bene Gesserit anyway? I mean, Bene Gesserit, I think, even
or even
over
to
her
the
family.
Harkonnens.
Yeah, right. Well, we found out at the end that she is... Baron Harkonnen's daughter, although I don't know, I think the main point of that for the plot, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, so what was the point of that? But I think it just made Paul more likely to go hard as fuck, because he felt more nihilist about everything then.
He was like, I'm a Harkonnen.
He found out at a key time, yeah, and he's just like, ugh. What the fuck, dude? I'm just going to go fuck off.
He's like,
these
I'm a Harkonnen and I'm Atreides.
Yep.
I'm not what I thought.
And
I was
he's kind of Bene Gesserit, right? He's,
yeah,
using all their powers better than they can.
And he's been accepted now by the Fremen.
Yep. So he's Fremen too. It's,
yeah,
just like he's fucking everything to everybody. And it just, you can tell it gets to him after a while.
So here's my real take here. I could not, the only thing that took me out of this movie was every time that people doubted him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, this dude took a ragtag bunch of poor people who lived in the desert and had been completely dominated by a global, or a galactic empire.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated, their land and their resources taken from them, living like animals, having to hide at all times to survive. Their only ability to ever fight back is to do weird sneak attacks,
guerrilla stuff, yeah,
steal weapons. They are being dominated, their resources taken from them. They've been forced to live in what seems to be a pretty dangerous part of a desert planet,
right?
They're
especially
drinking,
the ones in the south, yeah,
they're drinking sweat and pee, mostly.
They love the pee.
They're literally, like, draining people.
They actually would do that anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and so, to me, the fact of the matter is that Paul shows up. They instantly start winning battle after battle after battle.
Yeah.
They're getting weapons from everyone. They're gaining ground. He has a nuclear army, or nuclear arsenal. He literally takes on probably the two most powerful houses in the entire empire, including the emperor himself, brings everyone to their fucking knees.
Yeah.
Can see
the
future. Which
was kind of a scary part.
Can see the future literally at one late in the movie, he's like, no one can stand against me. Everyone's like, let me take my knife out. And then he's like, let me tell you about your fucking grandma.
Yeah. Dude, that part was like, I was like, oh no, Paul, he's a bad guy now.
Nah,
I was like, dude, he uses the voice on random people.
He uses the voice on the Bene Gesserit woman and puts her in her place, like tosses
her
back.
Well, that was good because she sucks.
He is, at this point, he is believing the hype because the hype is real.
Well, once he drank... Once he agreed to drink that, I think that was actually like not him rising up and empowering himself. That was sort of him giving up.
Yeah.
He was fighting against it to try to just be this relatively normal person or somebody that doesn't cause really, really, a ton of death and destruction. And once he drank that stuff, the water of life.
Yeah.
The movie was essentially over. He just went ahead and marched on and beat everybody and
whooped everyone.
I mean, I think he knew that would happen too. That's why he was like hesitant to just take on the role.
This is me. This is my thought. This is like a coach of a football team. He takes on the head coach job of Elkhorn State. What state is Elkhorn State in? I don't know.
Who cares?
I'm not sure. I know they're a team.
Yeah.
Elkhorn State takes over as the head coach. And what does he do year one? He wins the national title. He beats Alabama and Georgia in the college football playoff and wins the national title. This dude took a ragtag bunch and took down the entire empire pretty much without too many casualties even.
He took down the whole SEC.
This wasn't even an issue like for him. He did this without any problem. The fact that Chani was like, no, we're going to lose who we are as people, who is being dominated by the empire and living in misery and drinking pee.
Yeah.
Dude, this is such a win. I wouldn't have questioned him at all.
I mean, he did pull off many, many miraculous things. And, you know, I know that the running joke was, as it's written, you know, like everything he did, but everything he did was fucking incredible. And it was as it was written, you know?
I literally would follow this dude to my own death at this point.
Yeah.
There's no chance. I'm so tired of people in real life, not even in Dune, trying to be like, dude, Paul's bad. He's terrible. He's actually a villain.
Yeah.
I'm like, then I guess I am too. I guess I'm a villain too, because there's no way in hell that I'm not following my boy Paul anywhere he goes in the galaxy.
You know, I don't have any problem with him using the sandworms to kill 100,000 troops. I don't have any problem with him launching nukes at the mountain and destroying another 100,000 troops. Didn't have any problem. You know, he spared the life of the emperor, which I think was...
Didn't need to.
A small piece of mercy that was maybe pointless. The thing that I thought was like, oh, damn. Okay, well, the first thing was when, you know, he had to rally that group of fundamentalists in the South.
Yeah.
So he's in the giant room.
Oh, yeah.
And he just pretty much scares them into following him.
Loved it.
Which I guess is kind of Jesus-like, right? A lot of people are scared of the angels, scared of Jesus.
Would have dropped to my knees and said, I'm with you.
And they did. Yeah. They did. Yeah, so, like, that was kind of like, wow, dude, he knows who he is now, I guess. But the thing that was like, oh, shit, was when he said, I'm the emperor now. And then the other houses were like, they don't accept your ascension. And he goes, attack them. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy fuck, dude.
Mm-hmm.
These are the other, I mean, like, is he that jaded? Or does he really believe that because he is the one, he has to start this holy war?
I think he's just like, no, like he saw the future already. So I think he's just kind of accepted that he's like on.
That he gets, they all get destroyed if he doesn't do that.
I think
maybe.
He just knows that this, like, I think he knows that once the track started, there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, because when he did that, and then, like, they go and attack the houses, and the houses take off, and the war has begun, and I was just like, wow, I think he's, can you at least accept that he's an anti-hero?
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm then me too.
Well, well, that's fine, and, you know, anti-heroes generally are fun to root for anyways, but... Yeah. I mean,
Chani
not
being an absolute idiot in this. Chani, what is she
Chani
thinking?
Was just, dude, I kind of get that because he promised her multiple times, I don't want to rise to power. I'm not going to. And then in front of her, he accepts the hand of Florence Pugh's character.
I think he demanded it.
demanded it as part of his, and she seemed kind of into it.
I think he was like, no, I want to be with Chani. And then Florence Pugh walked in and he was like,
actually, she's not bad.
I think I like her, actually.
I like a more of like a stout look. More like a buff 8-year-old boy. Like, that's what I'm going for. No, but anyways, so that pissed her off. And then the fact that it was a little silly for her to like not believe that he was clearly so fucking special.
Yeah.
Especially when she was in love with him. But the fact is, he's like, I promise that, you know, your people should be the one that lead this. Mm-hmm. Someone from your, you know, I'm not like, I'm Fremen, but I'm not.
I think he was just kind of like, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
You got to have a white man do it. Little white savior action.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, that was, but they kind of played against that, which I liked.
They did.
Because in like the original Dune movie, he was just the white savior, dude. That movie, they decided instead of starting the Holy War, as soon as he like won, a giant rainstorm swept over the planet and it was over and everyone lived happily. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No
dimension to it at all. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that as soon as he won, he was like, everyone must convert to Christianity. Give me all of the five biggest companies in the universe will now produce
Bibles.
No, they'll produce what is it? Spice.
Yeah.
They'll produce spice and they'll also donate to all politics.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I mean, I really love the ending. Now
we didn't talk about Austin Butler.
He pulled it off.
I liked him. I was kind of
everybody
worried about
did a
it.
Great job.
I was worried about it. I liked him a lot. I thought he was really good. I thought his character was really cool. I didn't know what was going to happen when they fought.
Yeah,
I truly did not know. And I was like, well, Paul can't die. And then kind of like the Battle of the Bastards, I was like, my better judgment started.
Yeah, he can't die, but is he gonna die right now?
Yeah, I was like, man, Paul was like a zealot at the end, and he died because he believed his own hype a little too much. Is what I started to think.
Right, and that would have been kind of a cool ending too.
I was like, dude, who? I started being like, who's gonna take over now that Austin Butler's scary ass is gonna be in charge? Right. That's what I was thinking, and like, I don't know. I thought this movie kept me on my toes.
Yep.
I'm a little sad. I kind of wish he stuck around as the villain.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, this is what I was kind of getting to, where Denis has been kind of coy about whether there's going to be a second one, and now he's finally saying, well, okay, I'm working on a third one. Yeah. And, you know, this is how Dune ends, right? And then there wasn't another movie or another book even for a while. So, yeah. Denis wanted this to be a satisfying ending in case that was it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was?
I'm confused about one thing. So okay. He goes, like, pretty much he declares war on the other families, right?
Well, they won't accept his ascension.
And then there's a bunch of ships. Who's getting on the ships and where are they going?
I think that I was a little confused at this too, but the people running up onto the ships were his fundamentalists to go fight.
Okay.
And then they all took off because they're like, oh shit, we're being attacked.
Okay.
So that was just him declaring war.
And now they're going to fight.
You know, I feel like he's got limited resources and he's got the Bene Gesserit hate him now, or maybe they just accept him. It doesn't really, we don't know these things.
The Bene Gesserit is just, they're kind of lame, to be honest.
They should have been cooler.
I'm kind of annoyed by them because their whole take is kind of like, well, we've put a lot of things in motion. One of them will work.
Yeah, no, that's actually kind of true to the books.
And then they're like, yeah, is he the one? And they're like, not sure, maybe. Or it could be this other guy.
We don't think so, yeah.
Could be someone else, too. It's like, what do they actually know?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they've been like put into this false prophet status where like they act as if they know all the future, but in reality, they just kind of like cozied up to a lot of important people.
Yeah.
And they're just
And they use their powers to help. You know, get those people to power and all that. But yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think that they did a little bit better job in the books explaining their powers, because there really wasn't like in the books, it wasn't necessarily supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, they've learned how to align their, you know, change their molecules in their body and stuff. Like, there was some kind of dumb scientific explanations for that stuff. So I think they could have leaned into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But dude, I mean, they covered so much. I don't know. So I'm excited for the next movie. I do feel like if the first movie ended and I was like, wow, that just ended at a random time.
Yeah.
This movie definitely ended with a big climax, which is good. But, you know, Zendaya's character runs away.
Yeah.
And we hear nothing else of the idea for how they're going to, you know, fight this fight.
We just know a lot of people are going to die and Rebecca Ferguson's going to have something to do with it.
Yeah, probably. And thank God they're making another one. I want more.
This movie was top notch.
It's just so much to think about. So many amazing visuals. You remember when like those Sardaukar like caught them kind of near the sand dunes by those cliffs and they like floated down slowly from the ship?
Dope.
It's like that was the coolest fucking shot I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Every shot was amazing like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If I was traveling by Sandworm,
uh-huh.
I would want to be the people in the tent. Like camping. Oh, they're just camping out.
They're camping.
They're having a great time.
Camping on a journey with a all-knowing Sandworm.
Right. And then, you know, you want to be steering?
Kind of think if I was Paul, I wouldn't have left the planet.
Yeah.
One of your big advantages is the Sandworms.
Right.
It's like a weapon.
When did you leave the planet?
Isn't that what they're all hopping on the ships for?
Well, he wasn't hopping on the ships.
He's staying back? Well,
I don't know. Those were all the great houses leaving.
Oh.
Those weren't his ships.
I thought that was like his people hopping on the ships being like, we're going to go chase after them in the galaxy. He was like, I'm going to bring you to paradise. What's the paradise?
I think they're trying to terraform the planet. Because remember, like they were like, yeah, there was a terraforming project going on and this was supposed to be a green paradise. And then, you know, whatever, they found spice. And they shut it down. I think they're trying to make that planet habitable.
Couldn't they just dominate the whole entire galaxy if they just didn't let anyone come get spice? Because it's the only planet that has spice.
I think that's why they're going to stay there.
Yeah, I'd be like,
it's like, you know,
no one else can travel now.
Well, you remember the opening line? They start these movies with like, okay, and then it goes. Who controls the spice, controls the universe. And so, there it is. So, if he stays on that planet,
he controls the spice,
he's got all the leverage.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's a good fucking movie.
Gosh, this was good.
Let's go watch it again.
We should.
Let's go.
Yeah. I loved this. This was so fun. Everybody, this is as hot of a wreck as we've had.
Spicy. Spice hot.
I think this is like this the level of wreck of like watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, it's hotter than that.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't know if I can wreck Game of Thrones now.
Yes, you can.
Bro.
Yes, you can.
It ended so poorly. Oh, shit. This could, too. Well, we don't think so, but you never know.
All right, guys. That is all the time we have on this episode of the Northeast Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We went really long. This is the longest episode we've had in like...
What is it? 1 hour 20?
Hour 10.
Love it.
Longest episode we've had in a long time, but it was because Dune deserve this, so we go deep on that. Go back, check out our sports cast, and otherwise, until next time, thanks for hanging out with your best friends here at the Northeast Podcast.
Come on deep.